because you're mighty. Lord, not out of our emotions, but out of our spirit, we worship your very person. You're the Lord who's strong and mighty, and you're the mighty God that we serve. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you, and we declare that you're mighty. Now, Lord, for these next few minutes as we huddle around your word, speak to us as only you can. Let revelation flow in this place. That, Lord, we will go forward, not, dear God, being better because we've been the church, but being better because we've been with you. Speak to us through your word. We're yielded and we're still. Have your way in us. We believe we have correct interpretation of text. Give us clarity of thought, precision of speech, and the anointing that makes a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And thank God. Today we're grateful for the privilege of being in worship one more time. And certainly, amen, we're thankful today for this, amen, man of God, this father in the apostolic faith and someone that covers us. And we praise God every time he comes in the room. Can y'all help me thank God for Apostle Reggie Wilson? Come on, y'all. Come on. Family, where y'all at? Amen. I know y'all ready for word and some of y'all woozy right now, but hey, amen, we praise God. Listen, y'all, on the 23rd, we're going to be hearing from, amen, as we get ready for, you know, the apostolic forward time and as God is calling us and for his guests that share with him today. And, of course, Pastor West, God bless you. Amen. Apostle West, we praise God for him. Let's give God praise today. Amen for him. They're going to be with us for a while, y'all, but if they have to tip out, please know they have service in a little while. But, of course, Apostle wanted to make sure he get in here this morning. It's his first time having an opportunity to lay eyes on us this year, and he didn't want to miss the moment. Amen? Come on, let's get into this word. Y'all ready for a word? 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm reading from the New International Version, NIV, this morning, verses 1 through 7. And it says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know he revered the Lord. But the creditors is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. And Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing at all, she said, except a small jar of oil. Elijah says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Do not ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into the jars and into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. And she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing, and she went and told the man of God. And he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on what is left. The word of the Lord is blessed. As God, and as you take your seats this morning, as God has given us precise instruction, and he made it clear, he says, declare over my people that you don't have to look for nothing new, because God said he's already finished all everything already. What we need is not God to do something brand new, because God says, I have not changed. I need you to get back to where you belong. So God has encouraged us in this season to embrace this season of our lives. And even as we are in a new calendar year, we're going to embrace this time as a resurgence of faith and favor. Someone say a resurgence of faith and favor. You will see that you cannot be in faith and not experience favor. You will see that the resurgence of faith and favor is something that is needed among believers today, because we went and we're in the midst of a land of time and a people that have seemingly decreased their expectation of God and no longer believe God the way they used to believe him. But we take authority over that spirit this morning, because somebody under the sound of my voice, God said he has you in this service this morning because you're about to believe again. Someone say believe again. everything the enemy has discouraged you about your journey, God made a promise to you, and just because it has not manifested does not mean that it's not going to happen. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, but if he spoke it, he's going to do it, and if he said it, he will bring it to pass. What we can enjoy and what we can be grateful for concerning the written word of God, that it is a powerful and strategic tool. When it comes down to the written word of God, that it is a book of divine information and illustrations concerning every aspect of our present and promised life. It tells us what we must do and then illustrate to us by, scriptural, pictures, what it is that happened when those instructions were followed. And so we see here, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we see here a familiar course of life. Because we find that there's a woman right here in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, this woman now has been impacted by the course of life. What has happened now, this woman perhaps was like many of us. At one point, she was at a level, just feeling like everything is just so wonderful. She's so blessed, have a husband that loves God, have her sons that's growing up in the fear of God. But then life happens. What happened in life? Her husband died. Now, her husband was not any old body, but of course, her husband was one that feared the Lord, one that assisted, of course, and was a very powerful part of the teachings of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the mighty God we've just sung about. But now, he has transitioned. He is gone. And when he left, this woman found herself at a place where she's being challenged because life happened. How many of you know that there's some things that you just don't control? Come on now. You've got to know that no matter how much you believe God, no matter, how long you've been walking with God, sometimes stuff gonna happen. And when you find yourself faced with life challenges, you've got to guard your faith. Because what your faith has a tendency to do when life happens is decrease as if God is limited by what happened. This woman now, she's challenged with the fact that her husband, who feared the Lord, is now gone. And while he was here, they wind up entering into a credit situation, wherein now they literally had a commitment concerning credit that was not honored while her husband was here. And now that he is gone, based upon the customs of the day, the creditor has a right to go and take the surviving sons and make them his slave to pay off what was owed. But this woman is a wonderful picture of resurgence of faith, and we'll see what happens when her faith is resurged. Because what she does now, there's a series of things she does, because I told you the Bible is a book of divine information, but then on top of that, we get an illustration. Nobody else but God will literally expect you to do something, then tell you how to do it. And right here in this text, we can see God using this lady in this moment to show you and I how it is that sometimes life will beat you down. Somebody needs to know right now today, just because you're down don't mean you're out. Okay, somebody make a confession in this place? Come on now. You got to know, just because you're down, that don't mean you're out. You got to stop acting like it's over, because it ain't over long as God is still on the throne. No matter what changes in this life, heaven never calls an emergency board meeting just because something changes. In other words, God already knows what he's going to do. He knows when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it, and all we've got to do is stay with God. Help me teach in this place today. Just lean on somebody and say, no matter what changes, remember God never changed. He never changes. He never changes. He's going to be same God. So y'all, hearing this, here it is. She shows us through demonstration how to get your faith back at the level where it belongs. God says, tell the people of God, 2018 beat a whole lot of people down. Stuff happened. Money got funny. Change got strange. Things shifted. Every time you turn on the TV, more discouraging news. And if we're not careful and if we're honest today, many of us stop believing God where we once believed. But you're in the right house today. You better get your swag back. Come on now. Come on now. See, you got to see. Okay, y'all want to play this morning. You got to know. No. Here it is. You know. Some of us are struggling because we're trying to handle life like Stella. Stella thought her time, what she needed to do is go back and relive her young life. And Stella wanted her groove back. But your groove without God can still leave you empty.
Yes, sir.
Because when you get your swag back in your faith, age really don't matter. Color don't even matter. Listen, your past don't even matter. Where you live don't even matter. Because God can step in to a situation that don't really look that good. But if you trust him, he'll still cause you to come out on top. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody ought to begin to praise God that this is your defining moment. This is your best hour. And you right now, you believe without a doubt God left you around. And right now, you about to have a resurge in your faith. And when you get a resurgence in your faith, everything's going to flip around. What must we do? Let me stay on course. I want to stay on time. This illustration in this particular story, Mother Jones, shows us what we must do to have our faith resurged. The first thing we must do, if you want a resurgence of faith, we have to, number one, seek God's direction for our present situation.
Yes, sir.
Everyone says, seek God's direction for my present situation. I don't care if it's good or bad. I don't care if you're up or down. It matters not. You know, I mean, I know after January, everybody get encouraged and everybody get fired up. But, you know, you've got to know that all of us in here got a present situation. And just because we see certain terms, we categorize them as bad. Situations does not mean that it's a bad thing. Sometimes it's just where you're situated. Okay. See, we limit that word to challenge. Situation. I got a situation. No, it's wherever you're situated. You got to seek God's plan for your present situation. Look what y'all, she had a present situation. She was situated in a place that life carried her. And now in her situation, what she needed to do, she needed to know what God had to say about where she were right now. Can I ask you a question today? Have you asked God what he has to say about where you are right now? Because that is the first step in the resurgence of faith. I need to know what God is saying to me. She didn't have a canonized Bible, so she could not turn to the book of 2 Kings. She had to go, watch this, to the man of God. And when she went to the man of God, she was literally going to ask him, what does God have to say about my right now? This is why you need to stay in a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. Because wherever you are situated in life, you need to know, what does God have to say about my right now? Forget about tomorrow. You can't change it. Listen, forget about yesterday. You can't change it. And stop worrying about tomorrow, because watch this, it's going to take care of itself. But what does God have to say about my right now? She was situated in a place. And she says, I ain't got time to be hitting my head against the wall, trying to figure something out. How many of you know that you ain't got to figure out what God has already taken care of? She said this, Lemie. She says, I'm not going to be here scratching my head like I can control something. I'm going to talk to Elisha. I'm going to talk to the walking word of God, because in this day, God spoke to his people through his prophets. She goes to Elisha And she says, here's where I'm situated. My husband is gone. You know he feared the Lord. We had a little credit going, and the creditors have come to take my boys. She goes to him, and she says, I got a problem. I like Elijah's response. Apostle Elijah hits her, and he literally hits her with this, what you want me to do? That's how he hits her. I believe that it was a test of her disposition. Elijah says, I'm trying to find out if you're coming to me, Elijah, as the man, or if you're coming to me as the God servant. Because if you're coming to me just because of my position, you're in trouble today. But if you're coming to me as God's servant, you're right on time. Sometimes our biggest problem is we've already sized up how things are going to work in our mind. And sometimes God intentionally breaks us down to make us, God makes us identify what's really in our heart. So here it is. He says this, how can I help you? He literally looks at Elijah and says, you're coming to me. Are you sure you want this? Elijah said, you coming to me now. How can I help you? Are you sure you want this? Or who you coming? Are you pulling on me because you heard that, you know, I'm God's servant? Or are you coming to me because you know God will work through me? See, okay, all right. I can stay right there for a whole message there. Because, see, sometimes, watch this, we miss God for looking at the container.
All right.
You got to know that God, listen, he will use whoever he wants to use in your life, but you must have Holy Spirit employed so that you will know when God is using somebody in your life. And when God is using somebody in your life, you can't miss your moment. This is why you got to be careful how you handle people. Because if you're not careful, you will handle somebody wrong that God wants to use to turn your life around. You just don't know who you might be sitting next to this morning. And that's why you ought to praise God and give God thanks for the person on your road, because you just don't know. That could be your connection to your destiny, the one that God wants to use to turn your life. Y'all listen, some of y'all, I mean, you still got your traditional history on, and y'all just nod your head. Don't just nod your head. When you get a revelation, you need to open up your mouth and say, I got it, or something. Say hallelujah or something. Come on. Anybody got it out there? You say, I got it. Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And listen. No. Listen, y'all. Have you ever tried to talk? And listen, from the standpoint, you ever tried to talk to somebody you give instruction to? And they're looking at you with that black look on their face? Make you want to ask them, you understand the word coming out of my mouth? Because you're sitting there with a black look on your face. When you got it, you ought to have some kind of response. Are you with me today? Because the word of God does not come just to entertain us. It comes to impact our lives. So if you got it out there, you scream, I got it. So here it is. This woman goes to Elijah. And this is what she needed to do. She needed to, number one, seek God's direction for our present situation. What we can learn from this is that don't go through life in this season trusting your emotions, trusting your thoughts or your feelings. Find out what God has to say. Oh, God, somebody get this morning. No. I done made enough mistakes by myself till I don't want to repeat some courses again because I done went back to me. Anybody in here that's going to join me, that you're going to turn your back on you and say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want for my life. If that's you, give him praise right there. Because I only want what you want for me.
Hallelujah.
So number one, here we go. She goes, here we go. Here it is. You must seek God's direction for a present situation. But number two, here it is. So listen, he said, how can I help you? And then immediately he flips over and says, tell me what you got in your house. What do you have in your house? She says, oh, your servant ain't got nothing except a little jar of oil. I ain't got nothing. All I got is a little jar of oil. I ain't got nothing. All I got is a little jar of oil. I don't have anything All I have is a little jar of oil. Somebody need to get it right now. God don't need a whole lot. All he needs you to believe him at the level you are. You don't need a whole lot of money. You just need to believe God with the money you have. You don't need a whole lot. You don't need to listen. You don't need a whole lot of scripture on the inside. Just start living the one that you know. God. Somebody needs to know. You don't need to. No. I don't know how to quote this or quote that. Listen, live the one that you know. If you live the one that you know, more going to come. Are y'all with me this morning? Come on now. Somebody give God praise right there. Because that's where we have to be. We got to live where we are. And if we're true to where we are, God will grow us up. She said, I ain't got nothing. She said, just a little oil. He says, okay, here it is. If you need a resurgence of your faith, Elijah says, that's what you need. When he says, what do I have to do with you? How can I help you? Elijah said, I got a candidate. I got somebody that needs resurgence of her faith. Because just because her husband died, God didn't die. Yeah. Just because her situation changed, God did not change. So he said, okay, here it is now. Even though God is right here, there's a responsibility, and we're going to find out right now. Because listen, number two, watch this. Once we seek God's direction for our present situation, we must commit to total obedience, even if it appears irrational. Someone say commit. So total obedience, even if it appears irrational. Now watch what happens here. He tells her, go around to your neighbors. Borrow vessels. Don't get a little bit. Not a few vessels. Go get a whole bunch of vessels. Almost make it look like Elijah didn't even understand what the woman was saying. She said she ain't got but a little bit of oil. Why is it that she need a whole lot of vessels? Y'all, here it is. When you get a resurgence of your faith, you're going to have to pass a big test. See, everybody won't go into destiny, but are you willing to do what it takes? Because you ain't going to just skate into your destiny. You're going to have to believe God in it. You're going to have to step in some places you never stepped before. And he tells her, go borrow a bunch of vessels for your little oil. He says, you just got to live it all, but go get a bunch of vessels. Borrow them from your neighbor. I want you to go borrow them from your neighbor because I want people to get in your business. Because I'm a glory seeker. God says, sometimes I put you on Front Street and I put you on blast. So when I bring you out, everybody's going to know I'm God. God said, I know you're trying to keep me quiet. You don't want nobody to know you're struggling. But God said, I'm going to let your struggling become public. So when your deliverance come, everybody that wrote you off will know God is the one that's able to take you from the lower state and bring you up higher. I don't know who that's for right now, but somebody under the sound of my voice that know that you serve a God that can take you from a low point and then get glory out of you, somebody will give God praise right now because he's the God of the turnaround. Come on, y'all. He's the God of the turnaround. He's the God that will turn the tables in your favor. Go and get vessels from all your neighbors. Can y'all travel with me in your imagination as you read the scripture, child? When we look at this, child, she probably said, her neighbors probably saying, this girl lost her husband, now she lost her mind. Now, what's she going to do with all them empty vessels just going up in their house? See, sometimes God's going to tell you something that's going to make other people shake their head at you. Going to make them think that you done went off the deep end. And what God is saying, I'm just setting you up. I'm making you believe me against the odds. Because sometimes our biggest problem is we love the applause of other people more than we love the obedience of God. And God said, I'll make you do something that make other people, listen, look at you and shake their head so I can get the glory out of your life. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice in this season ready to do everything that God say do? Even if it looks like nobody else understands you, you got to believe God and go with God all the way. Hurry on. Listen, y'all. So he tells her, go borrow these vessels. Don't borrow a few. Get a bunch of them. And then he tells her, listen, so in the resurgence of our faith, listen, sometimes you got to get a God-sized vision. Because if you can do it, then you don't need God. You got to trust God with something that's so big until right now, you know if God don't do it, it can't get done. Too many of us walk scared to believe God for above what we're able to accomplish by ourselves. But in this season, the only people that's going to see God are those that's willing to believe him outside of themselves. Is there anybody in here got a resurgence of faith that you're ready now to believe God, that he is the one that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think, according to the power that's at work on the inside of me? Somebody that's got a God-sized vision, I dare you give him a God-sized vision praise and let God know right now, I'm going to do this thing. Come on, I'm going to do it. Let me hurry on. Here it is. This is. So he tells us to go borrow a bunch of vessels. But here it is. We must seek God's direction for our present situation. Commit to total obedience, even if it appears irrational. But number three, here it goes. You've got to listen. In this season, for a resurgence of faith, you got to become comfortable in your secret place. Take those vessels, go in your house, and close the door. He says, get in a secret place. Get in a place where you can stay focused. He tells them, go in and close the door, because the closing of the door is a sign of focus and commitment. He literally said, if you don't close your door, somebody that don't belong in your room gonna come in and talk you out of what I told you to do. See, like this. When God gets ready to elevate you, the first thing he's gonna do is isolate you. I'm gonna pull you away from everybody you've been hanging with. Because if I don't pull you away from them, they're going to pull you away from me. So I got to separate you so I can elevate you. And you can't go higher if somebody keep pulling down on you. Because you've got to know everybody ain't ready to go where God is getting ready to take you. And you've got to praise God right now for your secret place. Oh, God. See, he says, go in and close the door. Somebody say, close the door.
Close the door.
And when you close the door, close it on you and your son. Okay, in this season, you can't have nobody in your room but those that God wants.
Yes, God.
You need to take a survey and find out everybody that's in your room. And that's not that they are bad people. But if that's not who God wants in your room, you got to get them out your room. Because they can hold up your breakthrough. Because you got the wrong folk in your room. Okay. Here it is. If you got folk in your room that's going to literally be talking you out of staying with God, you got to tell them, I love you, but in this season, I need to walk by myself. Because I can't afford to let you get me to walk away from what God has already told me. Anybody listen to me this morning? So here it is. He says, listen, God loves to work in a secret place. He loves to be behind the scenes. She closed the door behind herself and her sons. Watch this. In this season, you've got to be careful who's in your private space. Listen, your anointing does not start in public. Your anointing starts in your secret place. Your confidence and your flow is dependent on your secret place. And that's why he tells them, go in, close the door. Don't start pouring the oil with the door open. Because the anointing ain't going to flow till you get in your secret place. You need to really, God said, you ain't going to have your experience with me until you get in your secret place. He said, you'll find out that I'm going to, listen, I will literally put oil, listen, to the place where I will start pouring, and I'll pour, and I'll pour, and I'll pour. And watch this, he says, I'm going to pour so much, you don't even realize how big a vessel you are. I'm telling y'all, listen, y'all, I'm giving it to me like he gave it. He says, tell my people that they are containers for the fresh oil of my anointing, and I want them to get in a secret place so I can fill them up to the place of overflow. Who in here this morning ready for God to overflow in you? I dare you right now. I don't need you to respond to me. Lift your hand to God and say, God, I'm ready for everything. I'm ready for everything you have for me. I'm ready for everything you want to do in me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Someone say, spend time in the secret place. Here we go. Last but not least, she went in there and she poured all that oil, kept asking her boy for vessels. Give me another one. She got to a point, she set them aside. She asked her boy for another one. He said, Mom, I ain't got no more. All the vessels gone. The oil stopped. Here it is. Resurgence of faith. We've got to seek God's direction for our present situation. Commit to total obedience, even if it appears irrational. Spend time in the secret place. But y'all, number four now, it kind of gets into a different mode. Because guess what number four says? Make good on all delinquent promises. Woo! Boy, when he told me that one, y'all, that one, that crushed me. Okay? That one crushed me. Because God says, make good on all delinquent promises. He says, tell my people that they need to make good on all delinquent promises. Promises that are made to me and promises that are made to man. God says you cannot have a resurgence of faith unless you're willing to make good on every delinquent promise. God said, you made me a promise, and you've been delinquent. You told me that you're going to do some stuff, and you pulled away. He said, but you can't have your resurgence unless you make good on all delinquent promises. God said, you told me that you was going to do this, do that, the other. You told me you're going to spend time in my word. You told me that you're going to develop a prayer life. You told me that you're going to stay focused. You told me you're going to cut out doing this and that. And God said, then you let it go delinquent. He said, but you can't have a resurgence of faith until you're ready to make good on every delinquent promise. Oh, God, y'all hear me this morning? You got to know without a doubt. God said, listen, you said that you were gonna forgive, but you're still holding a grudge. You got to make good on every delinquent promise. God, I ain't going to let nothing discourage you. Why are you discouraged then? You got to make good on every delinquent promise. Told that man, you told that woman, I do. Now you're trying to say you don't. Make good on your delinquent promise. He says, make good on the promises you made to me and make good on the promises you made to man. Make good on them. Somebody say, make good. Come on. Come on, say it again. Say, make good. Here it is. Part of the assignment right now. No. True that you ain't got the money, but if you ain't got the money, stop running. Woman up, man up. Let them know, listen, I ain't got the money, but right now I'm about to make good. Okay? And this is all I can do, and this is how I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to renege on my promise. Y'all got it? See, sometimes we want to shout our way through stuff that God said, you can't just shout through this. You're going to have to make some changes. God said, you're going to have to come to the place to understand that, you can't game like this. God said, because my name is on this. Well, y'all hearing me this morning? So y'all, guess what happened? He told her, now go make good on your promise. Go, she said, I got all this oil. I got more oil than I needed. All I wanted was the creditors off my back, Gwen. That's all he said. All I want, the creditors off my back. That's all I needed. I just came you for the creditors. What am I going to do with all this oil? He said, your faith has been resurged. And you can't have a resurgence of faith and God not give you a resurgence of favor. He literally tells her, go and take this oil, sell it, and take the money from the sales and pay off your debt. Somebody said, make good on your promises. And after you pay off your debt and make good on your promise, he says, what's going to happen? You and your sons, you don't have to worry about Social Security. You don't have to worry about nobody helping you. Because right now the favor of God is coming upon you because you got resurged faith. And you and your sons going to live off the rest. I don't know about you, but I need to make an announcement as I take my seat. God said, declare over Greater Mount Calvary, if we have a resurgence of faith, God's going to give us a resurgence of favor. And he says, in this season, you will live a life where you're able to live off the rest. Okay. This season, you won't be trying to live off the tithe. This season, You won't be trying to live off bill money, robbing Peter to pay Paul. In this season, because of a resurgence of faith and believing God, God says, when you trust me, I let you live in overflow. Somebody ought to give God praise. Somebody ought to give God praise. That this is the season I'm going to have the rest to live off. I ain't living off, okay, I ain't living off of what I need. I'm going to be able to take care of what I need. I'll be able to take care of my commitment to God, and I'm going to still have something left over, because in this season, I'm going to live off the rest. How many of you this morning that's got a revelation that when our faith is resurged, our favor is resurged, and we're about to live off the rest? Somebody give God praise. If that's you today, come on, give God thanks. Come on, give God thanks. Come on, give God thanks. He told me to tell every person the sound of my voice this morning that your days of struggle is over. If you let your faith get resurged, your days of not enough. I don't care, he says, who's in the White House, what's going on in government. Don't you be nervous in the service. Trust my word. Have a resurgence of faith. And you're going to be in a place where you're able to live off the rest. Somebody give God praise this morning. And give God thanks that this is your time. That this is your season. Somebody needs to know. Where are the people in 2018? Woo, boy. Listen, where are the people in 2018? You've been wiping your brow. I'm glad that one over. Because I'm telling you, boy, that one there feel like it was going to take me out. But God says you need a resurgence of your faith. And if your faith is resurged, you will live off the rest. Live off the rest. Don't rob God. Watch him let you live off the rest. Don't mess over people. Watch him let you live off the rest. Be true to God and true to man, true to everybody that you come in contact with, and watch God allow you to live off the rest. Somebody give God praise today. Today, if you're here, your believing God starts now. If you're not saved but you want to be, you need to rededicate your heart, make this place your church home. Any one of those three invitations, slip your hand up. We'll pray for you this morning.